Aloha. Hello. Welcome. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, a radio show designed to encourage personal self-awareness and self-mastery of emotions and thoughts in order to align with your energetic inner essence with your physical life for a more empowered, joyful, and healthy life experience. In today's episode, we will explore the healing traditions of ancient Hawaiian times when the people were connected in oneness to spirit and earth. And our special guest today is Lori Grant, creator of the Arch Healing System. Ms. Grant is also known as Mother Ori. Hello, Lori, and how are the beautiful shores of Hawaii?
Always fabulous. I'm sitting here on my lanai looking out over the West Maui Mountains and the ocean, and it's all divine all the time, even, you know, wherever it is we're living, if we just look for the divine in everything and everyone.
I agree with you. And one day before too long, I hope to get to Hawaii. I have never been there yet. Lori.
Well, you have to come.
I will. Lori, I am delighted to share this moment with you to first discuss and tell you, I believe, how spirit guides us ultimately to the people and events that sculpture and often refine our thoughts and talents to help us create a positive life experience. What we all need, it seems, is to be aware of the coincidences that often pave the way for growth and greater well-being. And I never told you this before when I met you years ago, but I would love to tell you how I was really guided to you.
Please do.
Okay. It seemed to be a coincidence at the time, but that was before I knew that there are no coincidences. And it led me to a weekend class that you taught, and it was about 8 or 9 years ago in New York City. It was through a series of events that I came to be in that special class. And here's how it all happened. I returned to my office from a vacation, and I was handed a postcard addressed to the chiropractors in the office where I had just started my Reiki energy healing practice. And above the names of the three doctors was written, Energy Healer. The card Energy Healer. So they didn't know what to do with it because they're very much into a medical chiropractic situation. So the card could have been easily discarded, but was miraculously handed over to me. And upon reading the contents, that small inner voice of intuitiveness said, go. So I instinctively knew I was being guided to meet you and to incorporate a new healing energy both into my body and into my evolving work plan. And now here we are again to share stories of our personal adventures in understanding life and universal energy, love and peace and wellness, all connected into one. Lori, can you tell the wonderful story that I remember you told that day long ago of how you, as a practicing Reiki master teacher and healer, arrived on the shores of Hawaii and what happened next?
Yes. Well, I'm going to go back a little bit further. And in 1997, I was in a serious car accident that completely demolished my right knee. And I was as you said, a Reiki master teacher at that point, and I was sure that Reiki could heal it. So I worked on it. The doctors thought I needed to have surgery immediately, but I was sure that energy could fix it. So I worked on it, felt a little better, didn't help it. I had some of my Reiki master teachers that I had initiated work on it. It didn't heal it. And then I went to some other Reiki masters that I didn't know. And again, it felt a little better, but it didn't heal it. And I walked around on it like that for about 3.5 years. Finally, there came to exploratory surgery, and they found that not only was my meniscus torn, but it was flipped back up on top of itself. And so they cut out the flap of the meniscus, and then I had bone on bone.
Oh, doesn't sound pleasant.
Right, and it was horrible. And so I was on crutches and everything. I was scheduled to come over to Honolulu to teach a Reiki class, and my knee was so bad, this was July of 2000, that I was using crutches. And I got in, and I'd been living in Boulder, Colorado at the time. So I got to Hawaii, and I woke up really early, 4:30 in the morning, I was still on Colorado time. And I hobbled across the street to Waikiki Beach, which I now know is called Kuhio Beach, on my crutches. And there are these massive stones, and there used to be four of them. There used to be a little sign there 11 years ago that said that there were four Tahitian kahuna who were here centuries ago and went around the Hawaiian Islands teaching their form of healing. And before they left, they deposited all of their mana into the stones. Mana is energy or life force energy. And so it's 4:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, nobody else is there, and I start talking out loud to these stones, and I say, I don't know if there's any truth to this legend on this sign, but if there is, I could use a little bit of help. I've been good, really, I have. I have 5 kids, 2 sets of twins. That ought to give me some sort of good karma. And I said, I promise you, if you help me heal my knee, I will do whatever I can to get your mana out to the world. Now, mostly I thought I was venting because I was supposed to teach a Reiki class that night, and I'm on crutches. Looks really good for the Reiki master teacher to show up on crutches. Citing the miracle benefit to Reiki, right? I did need a miracle, and I needed it really fast. So as soon as I said, I promised, if you help me heal my knee, I will do whatever I can to get your mana out the world. As soon as I said that, this rainbow that had shimmering lights in it that I could see and feel came down in and around through my entire body, and my knee was instantly healed. So we have before x-rays of bone on bone and after x-rays where it looks like a perfectly normal knee. So this rainbow coming down from me was so hot on my hands, I felt like it was being branded almost. And then with my eyes open, I saw this vision of all of these Hawaiian gods and goddesses. And the main goddess, Uli, said to me that I made a commitment lifetimes ago to come back when the time was right to teach the ancient truth that we're all one. And was I going to honor that commitment? And I'm saying, well, let's see, my knee is healed. And she's saying, your knee is healed. And I'm saying, okay, fine. Now, as I tell people when I tell the story, if anything ever happens like this to you, you should ask for the fine print before you so readily agree. However, my knee was healed. And then I began to get this download of how the ancient Hawaiians healed bones and other ailments instantly. And I went home to Boulder, and the boy across the street who was 16, who came over and flirted with my older twins, who were then 16 at the time, he was riding a motor scooter, and he fell down, and he broke his arm, and they sent him to the emergency room, and they found out the bone was so broken, it was going to require surgery. So they set the bone, they put a temporary cast on him, and made an appointment with the orthopedic surgeon for the next morning at 10:30 to discuss the surgery. So he gets home from the hospital, comes over to my house to show my 16-year-old twin girls how macho he is with his cast. You know, you want to sign my cast, baby. You all know how 16-year-old boys are, you know. And so I'm saying, you want this broken arm? Oh, I don't know. Well, what are you getting out of it? Well, I guess I'm getting some attention from my dad who drives an ambulance. And I said, well, are you willing to give up the attention you're getting from your dad if the bone is healed? And I was like, yeah, I guess. It's like, well, give me that arm. So I did this energy work through it, which is called ARCH, which stands for Ancient Rainbow Conscious Healing. And just threw the cast, put my hands on it for, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, something like that, sent him home. He went to the orthopedic surgeon the next morning. They did a second set of x-rays, so the x-rays were 13 to 14 hours apart. The second set of x-rays showed not only did the bone not need surgery, it wasn't even broken anymore. So we don't know if the bone was healed in the first 13 to 14 seconds from when I started to put energy into it, or whether it took 13, 14 minutes, but we do for sure know that within 13 to 14 hours, it was completely healed.
Well, so, Lori, you attuned me to that energy 8 or 9 years ago, mm-hmm. and as a result, I have had similar happenings with clients, healings that were spontaneous and almost impossible to believe that it could happen that way. But I want to just tell you something. After listening to you just now, I have three similar incidents or coincidences with you. I had a knee injury, and I was in Canada about 12 years ago, and I was studying psychic phenomena and writing a book, Life is No Coincidence, and I could barely walk. My injury to my knee was so bad, and a teacher of mine there, Robert Brown, who is an international medium, told me to go to the healing session. And I did. And after one session, there was a great deal of improvement. It was energy work. And the man leaned over and he said to me, whispered in my ear, "You are a healer and you can do this." And I had no idea how I was going to do this or if I was supposed to. But I came back and I studied at the Association for Research and Enlightenment, Edgar Casey's Association, and started with my Reiki work. And the second coincidence that you and I have that I just realized in listening to you, my daughter has a set of twins just born. Mm-hmm. They're 2 years old now. Mm. And the third coincidence was when I began hospice work about 10 years ago, during the training, a rainbow came across the whole window. There was a large, long, rectangular window, and everybody said, "Would you look outside?" And there was this magnificent rainbow, and I knew it was a message to me that I was in the right place doing the right work. And isn't it amazing how we get these messages that encourage us, divine inspiration and love to guide us on to do the work we were born to do?
Absolutely. And like you said, there's no such thing as a coincidence.
No.
We just need to pay attention to all of it, right?
Yes. We all have to appreciate these divine intervention and moments of connection to energy here and beyond here. Lori, let's go on with another question. How and when did you become interested in holistic healing and spiritual work? And did any people, one person, or maybe more than one person, play a role in this plan? I mean, you just described what happened in Hawaii, but even before that, how did the plan sort of evolve?
Well, I will try to make this short, but when I was young, I had a learning disability, dyslexia. I'll be 59 this year, so back then they didn't know about learning disabilities. Either you were intelligent or you were developmentally disabled. They knew I could memorize really easily in school, so they knew I was intelligent. But I literally couldn't read, so I would hold a book in my hand, and I would make up what I thought it said. And I took tests and made book reports on books all the time. I never read a book all the way through elementary school, junior high, and high school, not because I didn't want to, because I literally couldn't. And I only got caught twice. So both times the teacher said they just wouldn't count that one. And my explanation was that I was stupid, but my teachers were more stupid than I was because they didn't know that I was stupid. And in reality, I was really using my psychic abilities in order to survive. My parents were PhDs and really world-renowned in their fields, and I'm the oldest child, and it didn't really work for them to have an oldest child not be able to read or write when they were both really scholarly. So then in my family, you went on to college, irrelevant if you could read or write, and it was a little bit harder to bluff the college professors, but I did okay. And then when I was 20 years old, I had an experience that changed my life. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I suddenly knew that night at 10 o'clock that my boyfriend's uncle, who was only 35, who had no history of heart disease, I knew he was going to have a heart attack and die. And I can't tell you how I knew it other than I just knew it. And I told my boyfriend and told a couple of other close friends, and they thought I was just getting stressed out because finals week was coming up and I hadn't read any of my textbooks. And to make a long story short, 10 o'clock that night, the man had a heart attack and died. And I went through tremendous guilt. You know, should I have called him up and said something? You know, I'm not even sure what. You know, this was 39 years ago, you know, people weren't talking about this sort of stuff then. And then I finally decided it was a fluke and nothing like that ever happened to me before. It was one thing to know what was in the school books, but it was another thing to know what was going to happen to this man. So then a couple weeks after that, it was finals week. I was stressed out. I still hadn't read the textbooks. I knew that the next morning at 8:03 on the corner of Cherry and Third, that some acquaintances of mine were going to be in a car accident. And again, to make a very long story short, sure enough, 8:03 the next morning, the corner of Cherry and Third, these people were in a car accident. So that began a series of premonitions that I would get. They were always very negative. It was never that somebody's going to win the lottery or inherit $10,000 or win a trip to Egypt. It was somebody's going to get sick, somebody's going to die, somebody's going to be in an accident, somebody's company is going to go bankrupt, all the bad news. Finally, I was led to go see the only people who were there hanging their shingles, the psychics out there, were the gypsies, you know, with their palms out front that say past, present, future, you know. I give them a lot of credit. Most of the rest of us were still in the closet with our intuition at that point. And I went to one of these women, Madame Zola, and I told her that I was cursed because that was the only explanation I could come up with and that I needed her to decurse me and to make these premonitions go away. And she said, oh, my dear, this is your destiny. We see you traveling around the world, speaking to groups of hundreds and thousands. You need to build an altar. You need to pray and pray and pray. You need to come back every week, and we will burn candles for you, and you need to pay me $35. I never understood why the $35 part came with a Brooklyn accent more than a gypsy accent, but it did. In a retrospect, the gypsy was right, you know. It was part of my destiny. I did become a professional psychic, and my specialty was body information. I was doing body readings about 15 years before Carolyn Mace coined the phrase medical intuition. I'm really glad she did. She made it a household word, and I worked with doctors, physicians, and chiropractors and naturopaths and surgeons, helping them diagnose their patients that they were having a hard time diagnosing. And so I would be reading surgeons themselves who would ask me whether they should have surgery or not. So I did that for, I don't know, 25 years total, something like that. And then I was booked solid for over a year in advance and had no life and couldn't.
That wasn't good. That wasn't so good.
No, it wasn't. I couldn't. And my husband at the time said, sometime I would just like to see you with your eyes open. Because either I was asleep or I was doing a reading with my eyes closed.
Well, Laurie, let me tell you this. As an intuitive healer like you and medium who spends a lot of time helping people through meditation and messages from divine energy, we were born that way. It is mm-hmm. our destiny. Mediums can be helped to develop and use their gifts in a more specific and encouraging way, a better way, but you can't make a medium or a healer if a person has not been born. And I learned that from my teacher, one of my mentors, Robert Brown from England. I've had several teachers, Tova Levy, and that's my maiden name, by the way, Levy. And she was from Israel, so there's no coincidences. And then there was Ruth Rendley from Australia and Dr. Eric Pearl, a chiropractor who does a reconnect energy healing. So we've all had a lot of people along the way who are similar to us, but yet each of us is unique in the place that we're working and the clientele or people we're working with, and we are continuously expanding, and our talents and abilities are changing as you changed from Reiki and went into another form of energy and taught it to me so I could absorb it also. And I'd like to ask you, would you tell us about what you have discovered over the years living in Hawaii and about the ancient people who used this energy healing in those days as a way of enjoying life and connecting to spirit at the same time? I believe they were called the Rainbow People.
Absolutely. First, I want to go back and say that I do believe that everybody has a sixth sense. Everybody can use their intuition.
Yes.
And I do think everybody in ancient times, people had to use their sixth sense in order to survive. They had to know which direction to head for water. They had to know what berries were edible and poisonous. They had to know who their friends were and who their enemies were. And they had to use their hands for healing because that's what they had. So I do think that everybody has the capacity to do that. Are there people that can do it better than others? Well, of course, everybody can learn to play the piano. But
yes.
Some people are going to be, play concertos and be masters of that. So I just wanted to say I think everybody has intuition and healing ability, and some do it better than others. So, the Rainbow People were the ancient people of Hawaii, and they knew that we were all one. They knew that Keakua, the divine source, was in everything, and the spiritual path was to honor that divinity in everyone and everything. And from my path of actually being initiated, this is a longer story than we have time for, being initiated as a kahuna by my hanai, which means adoptive papa, who's a native Hawaiian kahuna. He initiated me as a kahuna and the head of his order in 2003 that, I'm very privileged to get to put the message of oneness out to the world. So originally I thought it was just a message of oneness and we're all one and that we're all in one with Keakua. And then later in 2003, I was in Boston. I was teaching a Over the Bridge and the Rainbow, the Oneness seminar, and I had an experience that was life transforming, as if the rest of my life wasn't already. I went into what I now know is called oneness non-duality or self-realization, where I became literally, I was privileged witness to see beyond the illusion of separation. So I became one with the 56 students in the room. I became one with the room. I became one with the block. I became one with Boston. I became one with the planet. I became one with the divine source, whatever you call that. And that, along with a subsequent experience where I became one with the Divine Mother, has led me to an incredible new awareness or understanding that came from these experiences. And this is a whole new paradigm shift we have an opportunity to step into. The idea that of karma is a thing of the past, that it's a system built upon punishment, even though it's supposed to be positive karma as well as negative. People believe that they have to come back from another lifetime at a lower level if they did some karmic faux pas, for lack of a better term, in the previous incarnation. Well, my whole download from the divine and from the divine mother is that we go through our lifetimes in the order of the chakra system, and it's all about growth and learning and evolvement. So first we do our first chakra lifetimes, our survival lifetimes, then we do our emotional and sexual lifetimes, then we do our will and willpower lifetimes, then we do our love and affinity lifetimes, then we do our communication lifetimes, then we do our psychic perception of things, creativity, and healing ability lifetimes, and then we do our spiritual lifetimes. And so if everybody stepped back and first tuned in to what lifetime they're working on, and most of your listeners are working on sixth or seventh chakra lifetimes, and they looked at the people in their lives that are pushing their buttons, and they tuned into what chakra lifetime that person may be working on. And so, for instance, if the people who are still working on learning their victim issues, so learning that they're not a victim and working on their ego issues and learning not to bully, if those are the people that push people's buttons, then those, to look at it in terms of those people, are sort of the equivalent of spiritual junior high. And if you begin to see them in that light rather than judging them, you wouldn't expect somebody who's in junior high to be able to see what it is you see in graduate school or, PhD. A real simple way of looking at this is the first chakra lifetimers are like pre-kindergarten. The second chakra lifetimers, on a spiritual level, the second chakra lifetimers lifetimers are in spiritual elementary school, and the third chakra lifetimers are in spiritual junior high, and fourth chakra lifetimers are in spiritual high school, and the fifth chakra lifetimers are in getting their bachelor's degrees on a spiritual level, and the sixth chakra lifetimers are in graduate school spiritually, the seventh chakra lifetimers are getting a spiritual PhD. And that if we tuned in to where those people are and they're doing exactly what it is that they're meant to be doing, then we're going to stop judging them and instead support them in exactly where they are and what it is that they need to be learning. If people really got this, it will change their world incredibly because they will honor who they are and honor who others are with realistic expectations. It's sort of like Piaget, who is a brilliant scientist and psychiatrist, discovered that children before the age of 5 or 6 cannot tell the difference between, always see a difference between a short, wide glass and a tall glass. Even if they see you pour the short glass, the condensed short glass, into the tall glass of water, that they will always think that the taller glass has more water in it. They just developmentally can't experience it differently until they're about the age of 5 or 6, even if you show them. In the same way, people who are working on a different chakra lifetime than you are aren't developmentally ready spiritually to see things differently.
Well, so Laurie, I think you have outlined that, and that book sounds very exciting. And the name of that book is Transform Your Life Now, The Spiritual Key to Excelling on All Levels. And in excelling, when you excel, yes, you will be able to accept and understand that you're doing what you're supposed to in this life, and they're doing exactly what they're supposed to also be doing, and there'll be less judgment. Now, I have a question to ask you. I can't wait to read that book, by the way, because I work with my students also in understanding the different chakras and the different situations, life situations that are involved in each chakra. And when there's pain, sometimes they even come in and have pain in a certain area, and it's because their whole life is revolving around trying to rid themselves of certain belief systems so they can go to another chakra and work in another way. And they actually have physical pain because of that. So I know why I wrote my first book, Life is No Coincidence. And I also am working on a new book, Whispers from Spirit, a medium who shares messages of hope, healing, and love. Can you tell our listeners what has guided you to write this book that we just discussed? Transform Your Life Now?
Absolutely. Well, 2 years ago, I was privileged to begin having a connection with the Divine Mother that's called the Cosmic Mother in the Hawaiian tradition. When I went into oneness non-duality or self-realization in 2003, I didn't experience anything else outside of myself because I became one with the divine. And so all of my guides that I'd had really good communication with prior to that were just one with me, so I didn't have a separate connection with them. And when I started seeing the Divine Mother, the Cosmic Mother, outside of me, I was shocked because how can she be different than the divine? Well, I found out in the Hawaiian tradition that they actually put the Divine Mother, which again they call the Cosmic Mother or Uli, above Kea'kua, the Divine Source, and because she is the creatress, she is she created all in their understanding. And so I began having dialogues with her, and actually she was the one that had appeared to me at the Kahuni Healing Stones in July of 2000 as the goddess Uli. I began having dialogues with her, and she eventually asked me, did I remember, this was 2 years ago, February 2nd, so it's just past this two-year anniversary. She asked me, did I remember what I was told? Well, at, 56 at that point. I've been told a lot of things at 56, the good and the bad and sometimes not so good. And she said, in your near-death experience, at near-death experience in the time of the harmonic convergence. And I was told my near-death experience that I was to go back and to on the other side, my first thought was to send some of that incredible unconditional love to my children who were having a difficult time with their birth father at that moment. This was 87, I believe. And I was told, they're all your children, and your job is to go back and to remind them of who they are. And I knew what remind them of who they are meant, which is I was already teaching people that they were their divine essence, but I didn't know what they're all your children meant.
Well, and, I guess we're all one of the same energy from the same original DNA and life force and divine spirit.
Well, what she said when I, after she asked me if I remembered that and reminded me of that, how could I forget? And she said, was I willing to hold everybody in my heart as if they were my children? Of course. Of course. Love everyone. And she came into me. She became one with me. And for a time, I could hear her, almost like hear her voice inside of me. And then she just literally just merged with me completely and became one with me. And shortly before she did that, she started calling me Uri, which is the middle part of Lori. I spell Lori, my birth name, L-A-U-R-I-E. So she started calling me Uri, the middle part of Lori, which is spelled U-R-I, which emphasizes the idea that we're all one. And so I'm privileged now to be stepping into the role of an embodiment of the Divine Mother, and to many people are starting to call me Mother Uri. That's how that came about. I still answer Lori, but
for me, Lori, with my New York accent, is a little easier. It'll become easier to say the other name soon, I'm sure. But Lori, in summarizing today's discussion, I believe we may have come to understand the powerful force of ancient healing energy, which have, as part of the universal energy, always been accessible to those who allow and reach and allow it to come into you as you allowed it to come into you, and also to reach this higher state of higher consciousness for the purpose of healing and living in a state of harmony and peace and unconditional love. And then there are the possibilities for continued personal growth and that we can share with others. And then there is greater physical health and emotional well-being as a result of what we have discussed today and what you have just shared with us. That was a beautiful story. And I believe ancient and modern techniques do work simultaneously to heal mind, body, and soul. And I want to thank you very much for joining me today. And our listeners can go for further information to Arch at archhealing.com or www.archhealing.com. And also, please go to my website, CherylGlick.com, to learn more about energy healing, psychic development, mediumship, and to listen to a few excerpts from my book, Life is No Coincidence. And please join us for our next show, Healing from Within, with special guests and topics to encourage ways to promote physical, personal physical, and emotional growth and physical well-being. Aloha, Lori, and
Aloha, Cheryl.
And continued good energy. And I hope we have a chance to talk further on a show in the future, in the near distant future, not 8 to 9 years.
That would be wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Mahalo.
Thanks.
Aloha. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.